Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The journey to a smoke-free future can be a long and winding road, but if you're ready for a change, consider taking Zyn for a spin. Zyn nicotine pouches offer a fresh way to discover your nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. No smoke, no spit, and no lingering odor. Get in gear with the Zyn 10 Challenge and enjoy 10 smoke-free, spit-free days for just $5.95. Order online and start your new journey today. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
School of Humans.
On Sunday, October 17, 2021, a 39-year-old mother of one named Heidi Plank was starting her day. Heidi was leaving her rented townhouse on the west side of Los Angeles near Culver City. She was on her way to watch her 11-year-old son, Bond, play football. Heidi, by the way, was a huge James Bond fan, so that's how she chose her son's and her dog's names, based on the 007 theme. So her son was Bond, and her Labradoodle was 7, like 007. Surveillance camera footage from outside Heidi's house showed her walking out the door. She was dressed in jeans and a white t-shirt with a smiley face on it. She had a sweater tied around her waist, and it was described in the media as gray, but it was actually more like a grayish color, kind of a gray beige. Heidi was petite. She had long blonde hair, she was 5'3", and was carrying a purse with her. She was holding a cup of coffee in one hand, and 7, her dog, was on his leash walking behind her. She put 7 in the car and climbed behind the wheel of the silver Range Rover with the license plate U840XO and drove away. Heidi was divorced from Bond's father, her ex-husband, a 63-year-old hairstylist named Jim Wayne. Jim had a salon in Beverly Hills. Jim and Heidi were married in 2008, but they divorced 4 years later. And at the time Heidi went missing, they shared custody of Bond. Jim told police that the last time he saw Heidi was when she showed up to her son's football game that afternoon. The game, by the way, was in Downey, which was around 17 miles from Heidi's home. So it would have taken her around half an hour to get there from the townhouse. Several witnesses saw Heidi at that game and interacted with her. Jim said that she seemed a little bit on edge when she left the game at halftime, which was around 4:30 p.m. But there was nothing that seemed extremely out of the ordinary until they were looking at these events in hindsight. It was Jim's weekend with Bond, so Jim and Bond went home after the game. Heidi and Jim got along well. Even though there had been some rocky moments in their divorce, they apparently had had a good co-parenting relationship for several years. When Heidi left the game, she told her son that she would call him later. But even though Heidi always talked to her son every single day, she never called him. In fact, Bond never talked to his mother again. Because that day, Heidi Plank vanished. And after she disappeared, it did not take long for rumors to start flying. About her ex-husband Jim, about her boss, Jason Sugarman, about her boss's links to big money and powerful people in Los Angeles. In fact, to me, when I first saw Heidi on the news and I read about this case, it seemed like a real-life version of the movie Chinatown. It's now been over 2 years since Heidi Plank disappeared. There's been no sign of Heidi and no sign of her body. All we have are some rumors about an apartment building in downtown Los Angeles and a devastated little boy without a mother. I'm Katherine Townsend. If you have a case you'd like me and my team to look into, you can reach out to us at our Helen Gone Murder line at 678-744-6145. That's 678-744-6145. This is Helen Gone Murder Line. Heidi Plank was originally from New York State. She was born and raised in Buffalo. In 2001, she moved to California and went to California State University. Before we dive into Heidi's work life, I want to follow the natural trajectory of the police investigation and take a look at her relationship with her ex-husband, Jim. Because, as we all know, in any investigation, and especially if there is a contentious divorce, police are always looking at exes. I actually did an episode of another podcast called Blood Money. It's about white-collar criminals and con artists who kill, about this case back in 2022. So I want to take a look at what has changed since then. So, of course, police want to know about Heidi's relationship with her ex-husband. Jim and Heidi seem to have a friendly relationship, but according to court records, they had some issues over the years. Court filings show they had had a battle for custody in the past, and at one point, Jim had full custody of their son, and Jim had accused Heidi of drug abuse. Jim also made some comments to the media after Heidi went missing about how they had what he called different parenting styles. He said something about how Heidi was more permissive than he was, which did lead a lot of people to wonder what was going on at home to make him say that. But in addition to Jim's movements all weekend long being confirmed by police, everyone who was close to Heidi said that her relationship with Jim had been good for some time. The last texts between Jim and Heidi were not contentious. They were warm. Heidi was thanking Jim for all that he did for their son. Jim told police that he and his son last heard from Heidi at around 7 p.m. that night, October 17th. Heidi had responded to one of her son's texts about the football game. Heidi's son sent another text a little while later, talking about a play he made. But this time, Heidi didn't respond. In fact, that was the last time that Heidi's son ever heard from her. Jim and his son were worried for the rest of the weekend. But Heidi was obviously an adult. She was single and dating and had her own life. Jim told reporters, though, that Heidi never failed to respond to her son. No matter what was going on in her personal life or how busy she was, she always made time for him. Actually, looking at the court records that document the text messages that Heidi's son sent to her is heartbreaking. On October 18th at 7:31 p.m., Heidi's son wrote in a text message, "Can you please call me back? I called you 2 days in a row and you haven't picked up." By Monday morning, Jim and his son still had not heard from Heidi. That afternoon, Heidi's son texted again. "Please call or just text me because I want to make sure you're okay and I'm worried about you." Then he sent another text that read, "Please call Mom. I miss you and I'm worried about you." The next day, October 20th, was the day when Heidi was supposed to pick her son up at school, but she never showed up. Jim reported Heidi missing. At some point, he went into Heidi's townhouse with a friend of hers. They found Heidi's work laptop there and her work phone. Jim took the laptop and the phone. Now, he did turn over the laptop and phone to law enforcement, but apparently it took a few days. And at the time, a lot of people on online comment boards are, of course, asking, if he's so worried about her, why would he wait? But Heidi was an adult, so she probably was not an immediate priority for the police. And of course, in every missing persons investigation, every single decision anyone makes is under a microscope. But in my opinion, and according to all evidence that has come out, Jim Wayne was totally believable. And Jim, to his credit, immediately went to the police. As we've said, Heidi was an adult, so if Jim had any reason to want to wait so the investigation would not start immediately, he probably could have. But that's not what he did. He went to her house, he told friends, he was calling people. He immediately called the police, he insisted that they investigate, and he commented to the media. Police talked to Heidi's family. Her mom told them the same thing Jim had. Heidi had been behaving normally. She was planning a vacation to New York to visit her mom for Thanksgiving. So she was happy and she was making future plans. Police figured out no one had heard from Heidi at all since October 17th. So they started asking, logically, about Heidi's love life. Now at that time, Heidi had been seeing someone who lived in Northern California. He was a Silicon Valley executive who worked for the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, the philanthropic arm of Facebook, which is now Meta. Police tracked down Heidi's boyfriend, who, by the way, was completely cooperative. He was verifiably somewhere else on the day when Heidi went missing, and he was cleared very quickly by law enforcement. But this man did tell the police something interesting. He said that Heidi had sent him a text asking him to come down to LA because, she said, she was afraid of something. But this guy was unable to make the trip. So actually, he told police at first, after Heidi disappeared, he thought that maybe she was annoyed with him for not coming to LA, so maybe she was ghosting him. So now the police kind of hit a dead end, because if this wasn't an ex and it wasn't a current relationship, who else would have a motive to want to hurt Heidi? Meanwhile, Jim Wayne, Heidi's ex-husband, was playing detective and tracking down his own leads. He got the VIN number for Heidi's Range Rover, but according to court documents, her location services wasn't on. He tried the Find My Phone feature on iPhone and Apple Watch, but those had also been turned off. At this point, Jim told the media he was starting to suspect this could be something that was planned. He believed this was not a random disappearance, and he mentioned the legal troubles that Heidi's boss, Jason Sugarman, had been having. Then there was another big break in the case. Jim checked the text messages on Heidi's phone, the one he had access to, and he found messages from a couple who lived in a luxury building in downtown LA. And this couple said that they had Heidi's dog. Hey, y'all, it's Catherine. As you know from Helen Gone, crime can happen to anyone at any time. When it comes to home security, your best line of defense is your vigilance and preparation. That's why I recommend SimpliSafe Home Security. Obviously, we cannot control everything that happens out there in the world, but when I'm in my own home, I feel very reassured by the fact that I have a home security system. And SimpliSafe is affordable, easy to use, and crucially, it's easy to get started with and then build on later as you need more functionality. They have a huge variety of indoor and outdoor cameras. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day, with no contracts and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/helengone. That's simplisafe.com/helengone. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The people who found Seven lived in the Hope and Flower building in downtown Los Angeles, located at 1201 South Hope Street. We'll get into the history of the building in a little bit, but basically it's one of these luxury downtown high-rises that have sprung up over the last couple decades in Los Angeles. It bills itself as a luxury high-rise with rooftop views and a lot of amenities, but a lot of residents have complained over the years that the developers have neglected this building, that there's trash in the hallways, dog poop everywhere, and management that is unresponsive. And I'm not talking about just a couple of complaints. If you look at Yelp reviews, there are hundreds of complaints on there from current and former tenants. So there's something strange going on in that building, in my opinion. But getting back to Heidi, this couple said that around 7 p.m. on the evening of October 17th, now remember, this was just a few hours after the game and right after Bond got that last text from Heidi's phone, they said they found the dog, Seven, roaming the hallways of that building. Some reports said that the dog was on the 29th floor, others said the 28th, but whichever it was, Heidi was not with Seven. Jim went to pick up Seven and brought him home. And since I know that people will ask, and I'm also an animal lover, I will tell you all right now, the dog is absolutely fine and apparently doing well. So what was Heidi doing at the Hope and Flower building? Jim and her friend said they weren't aware of anyone she knew in that building or any connection she had there. And even stranger than that, why would she leave her dog, who went everywhere with her, roaming the hallways? According to news reports, the building management, Omni Property, were kind of uncooperative at first, but police got a search warrant, and after that, Heidi's friends and family said the building did give them the access they needed and became more helpful. Meanwhile, some of them were wondering if the thing that Heidi had been afraid of could have been connected to her job and her boss, 48-year-old Jason Sugarman. According to Heidi's LinkedIn page, she worked for Coldwell Banker between 2005 and 2015, then Douglas Elliman. So she was working in real estate before she moved on to her job at a company called Camden Capital Partners. This was Jason Sugarman's company, and it's a company that is described as, quote, an investment advisory firm that handles wealth management and legacy planning for prominent high net worth individuals, end quote. This could be completely legitimate. There are lots of firms like this, but it's also very vague. And Jason Sugarman would soon show up in more headlines. Jason Sugarman is connected to a lot of people in power. His father-in-law is Peter Gruber, the owner of the Dodgers. And Jason was facing some serious legal issues, including federal fraud charges. He was under investigation by the Securities and Exchange Commission. According to the indictment, starting in 2013, Jason and his business partner, Jason Galanis, stole $43 million from pension funds of a Native American tribe of the Sioux Nation. These guys, who were known in the press as the Two Jasons, were apparently trying to acquire this global financial conglomerate made up of insurers in Europe and Bermuda, as well as some investment advisors based in the United States. In 2014, Jason Galanis and his father, John Galanis, obtained tribal bonds. They convinced the tribe they would sell them and use the proceeds to invest in the tribe. But instead, according to the authorities, they didn't. They just basically straight up stole the money. And what's worse, this was not some kind of Bernie Madoff type of scenario that started out as a legitimate investment. According to the SEC, these guys knew they were planning to steal right from the beginning. So it's kind of a long and complicated story with this money. But to sum it up, Jason Galanis and Jason Sugarman were accused of stealing millions of dollars from the Native American Tribal Corporation and from these companies they acquired. In January of 2017, Jason Galanis pled guilty to criminal charges in connection with this fraud. He was sentenced to 173 months in jail. The indictment read, quote, Sugarman benefited immensely from the scheme. Indeed, to a large extent, he was the biggest winner from the fraud. ending up with voting control over corporate assets that were acquired with bond proceeds, and from which he ultimately siphoned almost $9 million in cash for his direct and personal benefit, end quote. So we know Jason Sugarman was accused of financial fraud. We also know that he has powerful friends, including Hunter Biden. He even has ties to Hunter Biden's now notorious laptop of shame, because emails from that laptop, in addition to photos of Hunter smoking crack and sex workers, reportedly show that Jason was a director and shareholder of a company called Burnham Financial Group. If this name sounds familiar, that's because it's the same group that allegedly pitched a major deal to Hunter's Chinese business partners back in 2015. And one of Jason Sugarman's partners, who is also mentioned in that SEC indictment, is Devin Archer, the longtime friend and business partner of Hunter Biden. Devin Archer, by the way, was convicted for his involvement in that same tribal scam in 2018. Hunter Biden's lawyer, by the way, has totally denied all this. He said Hunter's client had nothing to do with the Native American bond scheme and that the timing was just a coincidence. According to the Sun newspaper, the lawyer said Hunter's name had been used without his permission and that he had taken steps to ensure that his business interests were not associated with the defendants in the tribal bond case. So what does all this have to do with Heidi Plank, a woman who, by the way, had no background in finance when she started working for Jason Sugarman's company? She was the bookkeeper for that company. And then there's what happened next. Jim Wayne said that on October 21st, right after Heidi went missing, he got a phone call from someone at the SEC asking questions about Jason Sugarman. And then it got even more bizarre because CBS Los Angeles was following the story of Heidi Plank. They were somehow able to acquire some surveillance video that had been taken outside Heidi's house. There's video of Jason Sugarman, after Heidi went missing, ringing her doorbell and then leaving muffins on the doorstep. The news station says this video is from a day or two after Heidi went missing. They weren't more specific than that. But if you look at this footage, it's odd because Jason walks up to the door, rings the bell just once, and then kind of seems to plop the muffins down, and then he's out of there. He doesn't hesitate. He doesn't try to look inside. So now I'm wondering, was he really expressing concern, or was he trying to make it look like he was expressing concern and looking for Heidi? Was he going through the motions so that he would appear on camera? Or was Heidi's disappearance totally unconnected to him, but perhaps he wanted to see if someone was there who would give him that work laptop, which, remember, was inside her house? What did the SEC want to talk to Heidi about? Heidi obviously is not here, so it's only speculation, but she reportedly told friends and family that the company had some tax filings that were due. She had complained that her boss, presumably meaning Jason Sugarman, had her name on so much of their corporate paperwork. Now, if this is true, it's a major flag for fraud investigators. In fact, this case seems to have a lot of red flags for potential fraud investigators, including the fact that Heidi was the person being asked to sign off on these complex transactions. Jim Wayne told the media that after Heidi went missing, he called her office. He said that Jason didn't seem like he was worried about Heidi or what happened to her at all. But he did say Jason Sugarman was very worried about that work laptop. Remember, this was the work laptop that had been inside Heidi's house. Jim had taken it out of there and later handed it over to police. Jim Wayne told the Daily Mail, quote, "While I was on the phone with his assistant, I heard Sugarman in the background barking at his assistant to tell me, 'Make sure he knows I want my laptop.' There was no concern at all from my ex-wife's employer. It's a multi-million dollar company. They didn't offer to hire a private investigator or put up a reward. The only thing they really seemed concerned about was Heidi's computer," end quote. Again, Heidi's job was financial controller for Camden Capital Partners, which reportedly gave her a salary of $145,000 a year and bonuses. And Jim made a comment. He said she always had spare cash lying around. Jim Wayne said that someone at Jason Sugarman's office had told him they believed that Heidi was, quote, "siphoning off money from the company," end quote. So according to Jim Wayne, someone at Jason Sugarman's office was allegedly implying that Heidi might have embezzled funds. But when Jim talked to the Daily Mail, He said he did not believe Heidi was to blame at all, and he said if there was any wrongdoing, it was from someone at that office, not her. Jim said, quote, "Heidi knows all of Jason's and the company's secrets. She knows where the bones are buried. This whole thing just stinks. Something just isn't right, and I can't put my finger on it," end quote. After Heidi went missing, Jim filed a petition for temporary emergency custody of their son. And these court papers, in my mind, provide further evidence that there was no motive for Jim to do anything to Heidi, because according to the court documents, Jim and Heidi shared custody of their son, and Jim did not pay Heidi any alimony or child support. He had paid her a lump sum in 2012 and nothing since then. So the bottom line is Jim Wayne had no obvious financial motive to do anything to Heidi. In fact, if he did do something to her, it would ensure that he would never get the support that he was asking for. Some people had suggested that Heidi might have disappeared voluntarily, and we do have to look at that possibility. According to court documents, in the past, Jim had alleged Heidi had some mental health issues. He said that she was addicted to Adderall and had some kind of breakdown in 2015. Jim talked to Los Angeles Magazine about what happened that day. He said that Heidi had begun acting strangely while they were driving back to her house, that their son had been in the car, and that after they got back to his place, Heidi freaked out, trashed Bond's room, and crawled out a window. Then, he said, she started running through the neighborhood. Police were called, and when they got there, they found Heidi switching an electrical circuit breaker on and off. It seemed like reading through these court papers, Heidi had had some kind of a break with reality. According to court records, Heidi agreed to check herself voluntarily into a psychiatric hospital. But after that incident, Heidi got better. She got a job. She started working for Camden Capital Partners, first as an assistant, and then by 2017 as the financial controller. After the initial flurry of media activity, the case got pretty quiet for a couple of months. Then, on November 4th, 2021, police announced they had found Heidi's Range Rover in the parking lot of a residential building that was a few blocks away from the Hope and Flower building, where Seven was found. And after that, police announced another break. They had more video footage of Heidi, footage that had been taken on that same day, on October 17th, at around 6:30 p.m., hours after she left her son's game. She was in downtown L.A., walking in an alley between 11th and 12th Streets. This is the little alleyway that runs behind the Hope and Flower building where the dog was found. She appeared to be wearing the same clothes and the sweater that she had been wearing earlier. She was wearing the sweater she had had tied around her waist. One of her friends told a local news station, KTLA, that Heidi looked like she was taking her dog for a quick walk. Now, there were some people out there who said that Heidi's hair looked darker, like she was wearing a wig, but I've looked at this footage, and to me, that appears to be just the late afternoon lighting. It clearly looks like Heidi. She's wearing the same clothes she was wearing that morning, and her dog is walking with her. Heidi's friends told local news stations that this was a major break in the case, because if the couple's timeline was correct and they had found the dog roaming the halls at around 7 p.m., that narrowed down the window of time when Heidi went missing to around half an hour or so. In the surveillance video from the alley, Heidi was wearing the same sweater she had tied around her waist earlier, so she probably went there right after she left the game. Also, people who watched the video pointed out you could see Heidi's purse, and by the way, this was at the height of COVID. She seemed to have a mask in one hand, which meant that she was probably visiting someone in that building. So it seemed like she either parked her car, took her purse out, and was on her way up to the building, or it's also possible she had been visiting someone in the building already, left her purse in the apartment, and ducked out for a quick dog walk. And again, none of Heidi's friends or family had any idea who lived in that building who Heidi might have been going to see or what she was doing there. But another one of Heidi's friends told reporters they had talked to building staff, and apparently they recognized Heidi and her dog, Seven. Attention focused more and more on the Hope and Flower building, the last place where Heidi was seen alive.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The journey to a smoke-free future can be a long and winding road. But if you're ready for a change, consider taking Zyn for a spin. Zyn nicotine pouches offer a fresh way to discover your nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. No smoke, no spit, and no lingering odor. Ready to start your new journey? Get in gear with the Zyn 10 Challenge. Enjoy Zyn nicotine pouches for 10 days and discover a fresher way to experience nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. Here's how to get started with the Zyn 10 Challenge. Simply pick your strength and varieties online and check out. Once your Zyn nicotine pouches arrive in the mail, enjoy pure nicotine satisfaction at your leisure. After your 10-day trial, let us know what you think. If Zyn isn't for you, no hard feelings. It's that simple. Order online at Zyn.com, that's Zyn.com, to start your new journey today with the Zyn 10 Challenge. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
As I said before, this Hope and Flower building was very controversial. If you look at the Yelp reviews, the residents claim that there has been theft, drug use, dogs defecating on their terraces, piles of trash in the hallway. They claim that their secured parking spaces are constantly vandalized and broken into. After Heidi disappeared, I got several messages from people who were friends of hers. I also went to a prayer vigil for Heidi that was held at the Hope and Flower building. I met some of the residents there, and later, some of the former residents contacted me and talked to me about the LAPD investigation. They told me that the police had been in that building, that there had been a foul stench coming from the trash chute. They had heard a rumor that a bloody mattress, or possibly even a body, had been taken from the building. Then the news broke the LAPD was searching Chiquita Canyon Landfill, which was about 40 miles away, the same landfill where the Hope and Flower building's trash was dumped. The police has not revealed much about what they have found inside the Hope and Flower building. But on their website, they did state that, quote, forensic evidence was located inside the building, which has led detectives to believe an incident occurred, resulting in Plank's death, end quote. The LAPD stated that they believed something bad did happen to Heidi, and that they believe that it happened to her at that downtown building. And they said they believed that Heidi Plank was dead. But they didn't give any more specifics. They didn't talk about what the evidence was. They haven't asked the public for information. So really, it's been kind of a black hole. In December of 2023, over 2 years after she went missing, Heidi Plank was officially declared dead. A judge ruled she had died at around 9 p.m. on the night she disappeared, on October 17th, 2021. There have been a few theories put forward by people commenting online by armchair detectives. One theory was that Heidi maybe was in trouble. Maybe she did something at work. Maybe she knew too much. And something led her to voluntarily go missing. I'm not buying that theory. First of all, I don't think there's any way that this woman would have left her son with no explanation. And secondly, other than her son, She loved her dog more than anything in the world, and I don't believe she would have just dumped her dog at this building. And of course, anytime you do have someone with a background of mental health issues or potential substance abuse, you have to ask, could that have happened again? Again, I think that that's very unlikely, mainly because she was acting normally, this woman's employed, she had a good relationship with her friends and family, and she had a son who she called every day. There were some other rumors going around, including one by an amateur detective who posted on YouTube. She said she had talked to people in the Hope and Flower building. She told the Sun newspaper that she heard Heidi went to a party there on the night she disappeared, that she had gotten Adderall from a man she was dating and then apparently overdosed, possibly because the drugs were laced with fentanyl. Then, according to this person, the people in the apartment panicked and Heidi's body was thrown down the garbage chute. But I have to say, there was absolutely no evidence that these rumors were true. And honestly, not all parts of this story make sense. For example, Heidi didn't look like she was dressed to party. She looked like she was out on an errand. When she was seen on the camera with the dog, it was early evening, 6:30 or 7 p.m. And finally, if there was a whole party full of people, as this person described, it seems really hard for me to imagine that no one from the party talked, the whole thing got completely covered up, and that they threw a body down the trash chute without it being found. But I do have a lot of questions about that building and about the people on the penthouse floor. Jim Wayne has said he was told by police that up to 5 people know what happened to Heidi. But which 5 people? 5 people in the apartment building? And if that's true, again, it's very hard for me to imagine a world where there was not surveillance footage showing those people. Even though it was COVID and a lot of places were probably being rented off the books, surely they must be able to get the names of the people who were in the apartment on that day. The whole thing is very bizarre. And I don't think I've ever actually seen a case where a dog was found in a location that was completely foreign to everywhere in the victim's life, and there's no trace of the victim. Jason Sugarman kind of disappeared from public view after Heidi went missing. And I'm going to say again, he has not been charged with anything or any sort of wrongdoing in connection with her disappearance. On January 10th, 2023, the United States District Court for the Southern District of New York entered a final judgment against Jason Sugarman. Jason was ordered to pay over $10.2 million in connection to the scheme to defraud pension funds. Devin Archer was sentenced to a year and a day in prison. He appealed, and he is still out on bail. In January 2024, a judge denied his appeal, so his case is continuing to work its way through the court system. Bond and Seven are living with Jim Wayne. Jim told Los Angeles Magazine 6 months after Heidi disappeared, quote, "Our son wants to know what happened to his mother. I want to know what happened to Heidi. I still think her boss has something to do with this in one way or another," end quote. There was another update story done in 2024, near the 2-year anniversary of her disappearance. Heidi's family posted a billboard of her in Los Angeles. Right now, they hope that someone will come forward. The family has created an email address, Heidi Plank, HEIDIPLANCK, at protonmail.com. The Los Angeles Police Department has asked anyone with information call the Missing Persons Unit at 213-996-1800. I'm Katherine Townsend. This is Helen Gone, Murderline. Helen Gone, Murderline is a production of School of Humans and iHeart Podcasts. It's written and narrated by me, Katherine Townsend, and produced by Gabby Watts. Special thanks to Amy Tubbs for her research assistance. Music contributed by Ben Salee. Executive producers are Virginia Prescott, Brandon Barr, and L.C. Crowley. If you have a case you'd like me and my team to look into, you can reach out to us at our Helen Gone Murder Line at 678-744-6145. That's 678-744-6145.
School of Humans.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, Oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The journey to a smoke-free future can be a long and winding road, but if you're ready for a change, consider taking Zyn for a spin. Zyn nicotine pouches offer a fresh way to discover your nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. No smoke, no spit, and no lingering odor. Get in gear with the Zyn 10 Challenge and enjoy 10 smoke-free, spit-free days for just $5.95. Order online and start your new journey today. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.